Who gives this woman to this man?
Her mother and I.
Let's remain standing, family and friends, and sing together, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," on the bulletin handout. Our scripture reading for this afternoon is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, where your text is also found, Philippians chapter 2, and let's read verses 1 through 18, and then open in prayer. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Amen. And may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Shall we open in a word of prayer together? Eternal and ever blessed Lord, thou who art infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, in thy being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. We bless thee that we are able to gather this afternoon on this special day, O Lord, to see the public declaration and covenant of marriage between Matthew and Caitlin. And Lord, we do pray that as we, for a few moments, open thy word now, that thou would speak to us from it, that thy Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds and hearts, and in the beauty of this day that we may see that the picture has been given of Christ and the church. And Lord, that this may be an image, an earthly image of what is true in heaven even now. And so we ask that thou would be with us. Bless thy word to our hearts. Go before us in what remains in our time together, and pardon graciously our sins, we plead, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Dear friends and family, especially Matthew and Caitlin, the text that you chose is a wonderful passage, and it's filled with so many encouragements. Truly a wonderful text for a wedding day for both of you. And I would like to just focus on a couple of things in bringing this text to you this afternoon. Your text being, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And I want to give you this afternoon just motivations to love and also two encouragements that I hope that you will take with you. Motivations for love and then encouragements to take with you. First then, motivations to love. You'll notice that Paul says, if there be any consolation in Christ. And that word consolation here means a comfort. It means a solace or a reassurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say that for the believer, there are so many consolations, so many reassurances and comforts that come from Him. And first, Matthew and Caitlin, it means, I think, primarily consolation by Christ's covenant promises. When we look at the world around us in the time in which we live, we can find little comfort because of man's own doing and our own. What a comfort there is to know that all things are still working together for good according to the eternal plan of God, and that nothing has happened without His permission. And in that counsel, to know that the most important thing for the believer are the comforts of the covenant promises of Jesus Christ. And those covenant promises that He entered into in eternity past for His own, where He encouraged and was encouraged to be our substitute, restoring that which was taken away. Also our surety, paying debts that we couldn't owe. Our shepherd, taking charge of our way and our needs, and to preserve us and to protect us, to lead us in every aspect of our life. And all of this before the face of the Father. If there be any consolation, surely the greatest consolation is what Christ has done. It is the greatest of all consolations. And if you both have this consolation in Christ, then this afternoon, no matter what else you have everything when you have Him. And then there's the consolation of His perfect work. Because we know we are fallen and we are sinful, but He fulfilled the law of God perfectly. All the claims of the great lawgiver, He satisfied divine justice. He secured us from the condemnation, even an exemption from the condemnation of the righteousness of God's anger. His blood is our ransom price. And that means His death is our life. And this work of Jesus is a finished work. There's nothing more that can be done. It's a finished work. It's a perfect work. And it remains everlastingly the same. That has to be a great consolation, if there be any consolation in Christ. But more also, when things don't go the way we hoped it would, when we have hurt and pain or puzzling circumstances, it could be physical, it could be social, it could be soulish, there are tender consolations and sympathies of Christ also. And what a blessing to know as you begin your life together that Jesus always sympathizes with His people. He sympathizes with them even now at the right hand of the Father. His loving heart at this very hour is bent toward us. Even now He is speaking on the behalf of His own, His bride, for our well-being. And that means He knows our joys and He knows our sorrows, all of our cares and our pains. And we know that Paul also said that He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And isn't that a great consolation? He never diminishes in that. He never steps back. It never fades. And to know that in all our affliction, He is afflicted. But He's not only one who sympathizes, but He also has a constant care. His care extends to all of our circumstances, to all that concerns us, even to the very beating of our hearts and the breath in our lungs and the hairs on our head. He cares for our needs to supply them, our holy desires to grant them, and our eternal salvation to secure it. And that means that there is a consolation in His prevailing intercession for us. And we could even say, for this He lives, even now, to carry on this work. He left this earth with a completed work, and He took His seat at the right hand of the Father. And there in heaven now, He watches over us, He enters into our experiences, and He pleads with us to His Father. And then this reminds us of the great consolation of His unvarying love. It says, if any consolation, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. Here Paul is just repeating that same heart emphasis over and over. And Matthew and Caitlin, the love of Jesus is always the same. It never ebbs. It always flows. It's one continuous stream from His heart. And that love is as old as eternity, and it's as strong as omnipotence, and it's as unchangeable as He is unchangeable. It is strong. It is durable. And you know, may it never be for you, but for some, personal love may fail. And those who love us today may despise us tomorrow, but as Jesus ever lives, Jesus ever loves. In the covenant engagements, in His perfect work, in His tender sympathy, in His constant care, in His prevailing intercession, and His unvarying love, there is in Christ an eternal consolation. And here is where you both may experience something special as you publicly confess your wedding vows to each other, to have this consolation. And I can't help but think that that's why you chose this passage, because it's yours, it's your desire. And believe me, it gives you a stronger footing than all of the consolations of this world, bowels of mercies, consolation, same love, same mind. Matthew and Caitlin, there's always consolation in Christ. Whatever may be our outward circumstances, and they may be very trying. It may be poverty and pain, under losses and crosses. However tempted or tried, there is still consolation in Christ. And then he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded." Be of one mind. Be of one heart. That Matthew, you're to be a student of Caitlin, and she you. To be a student of each other. To understand each other. You see, Paul's happiness was not quite complete until he could see those whom he loved, and he loved these Philippians deeply, walking in unity. There's beauty in diversity, and I know that with you two, there's also diversity. But when the heart of the matter is there, that unity is one of the most precious and beautiful things on earth. He points out what I may call the conditions of unity, and there are two, really, and that is humility and unselfishness. Humility, that part that Paul is describing, is not a selfish thing, but it's a deeply rooted principle that desires to put the other first. There's such a strong connection between personal pride and marital disunity. And then when we find that this happens in the married life, when there is not a self-sacrifice, then much can go wrong. When a husband puts his own self before his wife, or she puts herself before him, then you can expect many a battle, and you'll probably lose half. The discord and the jostling and the bickering and the petty fighting. You know, it all stems from self. But Christ put his bride before himself, and he gave himself for her. And the bride, as the Song of Solomon teaches, forsook all else in Jerusalem for him. There's an unselfishness. The two graces have their root in one. Look not at each of you on your own things, but let each of you also look on the things of others. That is the directive of the apostle. Pride is the perfect ingredient to dissension. But below pride itself lies the ever foundational selfishness of the heart. And note that the motives by which Christian unity is recommended and underscored, I beseech you, Paul says, I plead with you. He's saying, in effect, take every opportunity, find every privilege of the gospel. If there be such a thing as a consolation in Christ, if there's any such thing as a comfort of love, if there's any such thing as a joint participation in the Holy Spirit, any such thing as a heart of tender compassion, then all these things, I beseech you to be of one mind and one heart. And what a wonderful recommendation that is in showing to you two this afternoon what the consolations are in Christ. So let me give you a word or two of encouragement as you seek the Lord's blessing this day. follow after Christ. And I say follow after Christ because verse 5 that we read together goes on to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It reminds us of what Paul says in Galatians 4 when he says, my little children, of whom I have travailed in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And it's interesting that that word formed there is a word in the original that means to carve, till Christ be carved in you, like one would carve a stone or trace. It's another viable word, like an artist. The tracings of Christ, the sketch of Christ, be formed in you. Matthew and Caitlin, may what has been applied to Christ here be the encouragement for tracing out this new life together. And here are your own covenant promises. I mean, you're making a covenant promise here this afternoon. What a source of never-failing comfort it is to think that in eternity past, this marriage and these covenant vows would be spoken on July 8th, 2022. You enter now into the most solemn of all human contracts, human covenants, the highest covenant of marriage, created by God for our betterment. And so your words that you're going to speak in a few moments are most serious, and they'll be witnessed by heaven and earth. And as you promise to each other to fulfill these vows, the Lord has promised to bless you. Matthew, to love Caitlin above all in this world, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon says that her price is above rubies. She should be the apple of your eye. Love her as the most precious thing in your life, as Christ does for his church. And Caitlin, where it's clear in the Word of God that what a woman needs is the love of her husband, for you to love and honor Matthew in all things, despite what society tells us and the prevailing ideas and culture, according to the Word of God, he is your head, behind whom Christ himself stands in everything lawful. As you fulfill your covenant obligations to him, the Lord will richly bless you in your personal and married life. But also Paul spoke of consolation and tender sympathy. And as Jesus always sympathizes with his people, if his loving heart is as tender now as he is in heaven as it ever was when he was on earth, he's saying, let that mind be in you. Be touched with the feelings of each other's infirmities. Two imperfect people are coming together to form one new imperfect person, because the two shall become one. And so seek, as I said before, to know each other, to study each other, weep when the other weeps, laugh when the other laughs, enter into each other's sorrows and joys, their laughter and their tears. And when that happens, deep dimensions will open up before you in love and in life. When Caitlin hurts, Matthew, you hurt. And why is that? Because as of today, she is you, and you are her. And likewise, Caitlin, when Matthew hurts, you enter into his hurt, because you two are one flesh. Adam called Eve, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Who would ever want to see his own body hurt or her own body hurt and not seek out the remedy. Be each other's primary caregivers. Which brings us to another encouragement as a consolation for you, this constant care. 1 Peter 4 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity or fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins." Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ hath forgiven thee." And so if I can encourage you, overlook most faults. Hold your tongue. Being right does not always mean being happy. The kindness and the care you demonstrate to each other, even when it seems to be less attractive, it will bring down the blessings of heaven, because your desire is to have that mind of Christ. But also, then also, he says, prevailing in intercession, praying for each other. Prayer is the conduit by which the Lord has seen fit to bring about his perfect and holy will in the earth by secondary causes. Be a praying couple. Should you see the other missing the mark? Prevail at the throne of grace where Christ has promised to meet you both. We need companionship in our Christian life. It's not good for us to be alone. And Jesus had a wise purpose in sending out his disciples two by two, that they would have been lonely if they had gone out singly. And they also wouldn't have done their best work. And so the one is the supplement to the other. Two together did more than two apart. They had their limitations of capacity, and then one supplies the other lack. But perhaps the greatest advantage in going two by two was that each kindled and inspired the other. Each held the other up. And we don't know how much we owe to each other. Our unconscious influences on the life and action of those closest to us, believe it or not, is immeasurable, both for the good and for the evil. And may it be for the good for you both. And so pray for each other. Pray for each other, because sometimes when words are not enough, prayer is all that we can wisely do. And we never need to be afraid that it will do them harm if we only ask God to give that help that is wise and that will make them better and nobler and stronger and truer. And that's what you, I'm sure, want for each other. We find here that this consolation, this oneness, is a unique thing today. It is a special privilege to be able to gather here with family and friends and to witness this. And I'm sure that family and friends, especially mothers and fathers, will be praying also for them. Give yourself to all prayer. Pray for whom you love. Not to pray is to sin against one's love and to sin against God. That unvarying love, I hope and pray that for you it is unvarying. And not only that, but when you look, should the Lord grant you years, 25 years from now, to say, Matthew to Caitlin, or Caitlin to Matthew, the day we got married I loved you, but the love I have for you now makes what we had on our wedding day seemed so small, that love would grow, that love would strengthen. And to love each other when you're at your most unlovely, love each other when love becomes work, and it will. During times of joy and sorrow, cloud and sunshine, storms and dark skies with the clear. Love each other. A godly love is more than just feeling it when it's felt. It's exercising that love at all times and in all circumstances. And it's true that unvarying love will eventually grow deeper over the years. Sometimes you hear of people who fall out of love, but one has to wonder if that love was ever tended to in the proper way in the early days, such as you're in now. And I have a few more things that I would like to say to you. So if you could meet me below here, and we'll do the form also at the same time. Stand up. I'm just going to move this up a little bit. Matthew and Caitlin, may your love for each other grow day by day, and month by month, and year by year. And may that love grow as a reflection of the love to God that both of you have. What is it to love God? To love God is to delight in Him. To love God is to esteem His ways, thoughts above all earthly. It's to desire and to enjoy His favor, desiring to be like Him, to serve Him, to worship Him. You know, the Bible says that for the child of God, that they love Him because He first loved us. And they love Him as a Savior and the great Deliverer and the Ransomer and the Father and as their Shepherd and as their King. O whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Love Him sincerely, without deceit, not in word only, but truly from the heart, because the love of God is shed abroad in the heart, and the love of Christ constrains them. Love Him supremely, even above each other. Jesus said, "He who loves father and mother more than Me is not worthy of Me." They forsake all to follow Him. They deny themselves. And they say, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee." Loving Him in truth will set the pattern of acceptance and love for a happy married life, no matter what comes. And so, here your journey begins. Do you want a happy marriage? Well, I know you do. Then the answer to a happy marriage might be given in one word, and that is Christ. Christ at the marriage altar, Christ on the honeymoon, Christ when the new home is set up, Christ when a baby comes, Christ when a loved one dies, Christ in the pinching times, and Christ in the days of plenty, Christ in the nursery, in the kitchen, in the living room, Christ in toil and in rest, Christ along in all the years, and Christ when the wedding pair walks towards sunset's gates, and one goes before, and the other stays behind, bearing that grief. Christ is the secret of a happy home. Christ is the secret to a blessed journey. Christ is the secret to a never-ending eternity of glory. And so I commend to you the Lord Jesus. May Christ's supreme example be the picture that is traced with a gospel pencil in both of your lives. One or two now. May the Lord richly bless you both. Amen. Shall we pray? Eternal and ever-blessed Lord, we have heard the witness of thy word, as from thee, the only true God, sovereign over all and blessed, thou who art the giver of every good and perfect gift, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variance and no shadow of turning. O, thou hast done this. Thou hast done this marvelous thing in bringing Matthew and Caitlin together. Thou, the creator of us all, sustainer of life, giver of spiritual grace, the author of everlasting life, send a blessing upon these thy servants, this man and this woman, who we seek thy favor together this day, that as Isaac and Rebekah lived faithfully together, so may these two now make and keep the vow and covenant of their lips before heaven and earth. May they even live in obedience to thee. May they desire to follow hard after thee, and in love and in unity one with another, in peace together, that they also would be a testimony of thy saving good in the lives of others that they know and meet, that thou would go with them, that thou would go before them, and that thou would this day bless them. May great grace be upon them. And we ask this in and through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But now ask if the wedding party would return and if we could all at this time sing from Psalter 157. Psalter 251. And I'll ask the wedding party if they could return.
Thank you.
We turn now to the form for the confirmation of marriage before the church, in which we read, "Whereas married persons are generally, by reason of sin, subject to many troubles and afflictions, to the end that you, Matthew, and you, Caitlin, who desire to have your marriage bond publicly confirmed here in the name of God before this church, may also be assured in your hearts of the certain assistance of God in your afflictions. Hear therefore from the word of God how honorable the marriage state is, and that it is an institution of God which is pleasing to him. Wherefore he also will, as he hath promised, bless and assist the married persons, and on the contrary judge and punish whoremongers and adulterers. In the first place, you are to know that God our Father, after he had created heaven and earth and all that in them is, made man in his own image and likeness, that he should have dominion over the beasts of the field, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air. And after he had created man, he said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him.' And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Therefore ye are not to doubt, but the married state is pleasing to the Lord, since he made unto Adam his wife, brought and gave her himself to him, to be his wife, witnessing thereby that he doth yet, as with his hand, bring to every man his wife. For this reason the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honor it with his presence, gifts, and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorably by all, and that he will aid and protect a married persons even when they are least deserving it. But that you may live godly in this state, you must know the reasons whereof God hath instituted the same. First, it is that each faithfully assists the other in all things that belong to this life and a better. Second, that they bring up their children, which the Lord shall give them in the true knowledge and fear of God to his glory and their salvation. Thirdly, that each of them, avoiding all uncleanness and evil lusts, may live a good and quiet with a good and quiet conscience. For to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband, insomuch that all who are come to their years and have not the gift of continuance are bound by the command of God to enter into the marriage state, with knowledge and consent of parents or guardians and friends, so that the temple of God, which is our body, may not be defiled. For whosoever defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Next, you are to know how each is bound to behave in, respectively towards the other according to the word of God. First, you who are the bridegroom must know that God hath set you to be the head of your wife, that you, according to your ability, shall lead her with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her, as the head rules the body, yea, as Christ is the head, wisdom, consolation, and assistance to his church. Besides, you are to love your wife as your own body, as Christ has loved his church. You shall not be bitter against her, but dwell with her as a man of understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, considering that ye are joint heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And since God commanded that the man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling wherein God hath set you, that you may maintain your household honestly, and likewise have something to give the poor. In like manner must you who are the bride know that you are to carry yourself toward your husband the same according to the word of God. You are to love your lawful husband, to honor and fear him, as to be obedient unto him in all lawful things, as to your Lord, as the body is obedient to the head and the church to Christ. You shall not exercise any dominion over your husband, but be silent. For Adam was first created and then Eve, to be an helpmeet to Adam. And after the fall, God said to Eve, and in her to all women, you shall be subject to your husband. You shall not resist the ordinance of God, but be obedient to the word of God and to follow the examples of godly women who trusted in God and were subject to their husbands. As Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him her Lord, you shall also be in help to your husband in all good and lawful things, looking to your family and walking in all honesty and virtue without worldly pride, that you may give an example to others of modesty. Wherefore, you, Matthew Peter Van Wyck, and you, Caitlin Marie DeVries, now having understood that God hath instituted marriage and what he commands you therein, are you willing thus to behave yourself in this holy state, as you do here confess before this Christian assembly, and desire that you be confirmed in the same?
Yes.
I take all who are meet here to witness that there is brought no lawful objection. Since then it is fit that you be furthered in this work, the Lord God confirm your purpose which he hath given you, and your beginning to be in this state, in the name of the Lord who hath made heaven and earth. And I'll ask you to face each other and join hands. And I'll first speak to the bridegroom. Do you, Matthew, Peter, Van Wyck, acknowledge here before God and this holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful wife, Caitlin Marie DeVries, here present, promising never to forsake her, to love her faithfully, to maintain her as a faithful and pious husband is bound to his lawful wife, that you will live holily with her, keeping faith and truth in her in all things according to the holy gospel?
I do.
And you, Caitlin Marie DeVries, do you acknowledge here before God and this holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful husband here, Matthew Peter Van Wyck, present, promising to be obedient to him, to serve and assist him, never to forsake him, to live holily with him, keeping in faith and truth to him in all things as a pious and faithful wife is bound to her lawful husband according to the holy gospel? The Father of all mercies, who of his grace hath called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness and grant you his blessings. Amen. I will now ask for the rings as we move to the ring ceremony. Both okay. These rings are a public witness and symbol of your covenant between each other in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew, please take this ring and place it on Caitlin's ring finger and repeat after me. I, Matthew, take thee, Caitlin.
I, Matthew, take thee, Caitlin.
To be my lawfully wedded wife.
To be my lawfully wedded wife.
And I do promise and covenant.
I do promise and covenant.
Before God and these witnesses.
Before God and these witnesses.
To be thy loving and faithful husband.
To be thy loving and faithful husband.
In plenty and in want.
In plenty and in want.
In joy and in sorrow.
In
sickness and in health,
sickness and in health,
as long as we both shall live,
as long as we both shall live,
this ring I give to thee,
this ring I give to thee,
in token and pledge,
in token and pledge,
of our constant faith,
of our constant faith,
and abiding love.
Abiding love.
Caitlin, if you would take this ring, place it on Matthew's ring finger and repeat after me. I, Caitlin Marie,
I, Caitlin Marie,
take thee, Matthew Peter, to be my wedded husband,
to be my wedded husband.
And I do promise and covenant,
and I do promise and covenant.
Before God and these witnesses,
before God and these witnesses.
To be thy loving and faithful wife.
To be thy loving and faithful wife.
In plenty and in want.
In plenty and in want.
In joy and in sorrow.
In joy and in sorrow.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
This ring I give to thee.
This ring I give to thee.
In token and pledge. Of our constant faith,
of our constant faith,
and abiding love.
And abiding love.
Matthew and Caitlin, insomuch as the two of you have covenanted to live together in marriage, have promised your love for each other by these vows, the giving of these rings, and the joining of your hands, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Matthew, you may kiss your bride. Whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Shall we sing once again at this time from our song sheet? This time, Great is Thy Faithfulness, after which we will have the Bible presentation from Caitlin's pastor, Pastor Van Brugge.
You may be seated. Matthew and Caitlin, it's my privilege to present to you this wedding Bible. I do so on behalf of our church, now your church, but on behalf of Christ Church. We just sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We often sing that in reflection. God's been faithful to us up to this point. But I present this Bible to you with the the prayer that you will see this as another display of his faithfulness. He's faithful to you in this moment. He's faithful to you as you begin your life together, right? New mercies I see, morning by morning, bright hope for tomorrow. That includes for your marriage. And that's God's faithfulness to you. Not just in allowing you this moment in his providence and blessing you today, but in giving you his word and saying, this is what will bind you together in love, in consolation. This is what will, if you give proper attention to this word, bind you closer and closer and closer over the years, so that your unity is not just horizontal, but as you grow in unity in Christ-likeness, through the Spirit blessing his word, your marriage will shine. And that's our prayer, that you would take this, use this, keep it as an emblem of his faithfulness every day. May God bless you.
Hear now from the gospel how the bond of marriage is described in Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave a father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a right of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away committeth adultery. Believe these words of Christ, and be certain and assured that your Lord God hath joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving, as from the hand of God, and thus all things will turn to your advantage and your salvation. Amen. Shall we pray? Almighty God, thou who dost manifest thy goodness and wisdom in all thy works and ordinances, and from the beginning hast said that it is not good that man be alone, and therefore hast created him a helpmeet to be with him, and ordained that they who were two should be one, and who dost also plenish all life and punish impurity. We pray thee, since thou hast called and united these two in the holy state of marriage, that thou wilt give them thy Holy Spirit, so that they in true love and firm faith may live holy according to the divine will and resist all evil. Wilt thou also bless them as thou hast blessed the believing fathers, thy friends and faithful servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in order that they, as co-heirs of the covenant which thou hast established with these fathers, may bring upon their children, which thou wilt be pleased to give them in the fear of the Lord, to the honor of thy holy name, to the edification of thy church, and to the extension of the holy gospel. Hear us, Father of all mercies, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hearken now to the promise of God from Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall be the man blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The Lord our God replenish you with his grace, and grant that ye may long live together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. I'd ask you now to turn and please face the congregation. Family and friends, it is my distinct honor and privilege for the first time in public to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Matthew and Caitlin Van Wyk.